Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning.
All of creation has a rhythm. From day to night, the planetary cycles that help us navigate the world, all of the earth has a rhythm. The changing of the seasons, the rhythm. Some years ago, scientists discovered that there is a heartbeat that comes from the center of the earth. Every 26 seconds, there is a beat. And no matter where you go on the planet, scientists can hear this beat. Every 26 seconds, coming from the core of our planet, all of the earth has a rhythm. Every 365 days, the earth makes a complete circle around the sun. It follows the same perspective pattern, cycle, rhythm. And there is something soothingly predictable about the world in which we live. There is something disarmingly captivating, something blissfully fascinating about the universal patterns, the systems that sustain our very lives. Yesterday during the creation session, Tahira described a time in her life where she would go out by the lake and she would sit on the same rock every day. And she would watch the seasons change today from sunny and tomorrow to cloudy. The next day there would be a mist. The next day there would be dragonflies all around. Every day was something different. This cycle, this pattern of creation. And one cannot help but wonder why the wisest man to have ever lived, Solomon, why he found the rhythms of creation so disturbing and so off-putting. At the very outset of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, Solomon encapsulated his estimation of life under the sun with one phrase. He says, "Futility of futilities. All is futility." All, Solomon? Everything is futile? All is futility. And for the remainder of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon goes on to give example after example of the cosmic absurdity and the cyclical monotony of life under the sun. King Solomon found the slavish predictability of everything to be tedious. He observed that the natural world moves in ceaseless, exhausting repetitions. The sun rises and the sun sets and the sun rises again. The wind blows in a circuit. The river keeps flowing into the sea, Solomon says, but it never fills it. He said something rather humorous one time. He said, if you cast your bread upon the waters and you stand there for 7 days, that same bread will come back to you again. Solomon is complaining about the cyclical nature of life under the sun. And he was not soothed by the rhythm of creation. He was disturbed by it. Because what Solomon realized is that creation is locked in a monotonous routine. A routine that is never advancing, a routine that is never retreating. It is futile. It is going through all of these changes, but creation is going nowhere. Spring goes to fall, goes to winter, but it comes right back around to spring again. It's not going anywhere. This was Solomon's complaint. Solomon complained about what he saw as the unfairness of living under the sun. How that the fastest person doesn't necessarily win the race. How that the strongest army doesn't necessarily win the war. How that the wisest man is not necessarily the most successful. Solomon found that to be so unfair. Solomon resented most of all the great equalizer of all mankind. Solomon resented death. Solomon laments the fact in the book of Ecclesiastes that no matter how great a man may become, no matter how wise, no matter how successful, eventually he will fall to death. And as Solomon says it, he will be forgotten, resigned to the dustbin of history. Solomon spoke forcefully against the oppression of the unjust powers of the world. And possibly his greatest resentment of life under the sun was that because we are stuck in this monotonous, never-ending cycle, this rhythmic treadmill under the sun, it is virtually impossible for us to know God's plan. It is virtually impossible for us to break out of the cycles of life under the sun to know God. Solomon complained that we are living in a closed system that does not allow us to break out to see what lies beyond the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 17, he says, I saw every work of God. I concluded that one cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun, even though a person laboriously seeks it. He will not discover it. And even if the wise person claims to know, he cannot discover it. Solomon has this sneaky suspicion that creation and all of its cycles are a smokescreen. A decoy designed to shield us from knowing the works of God and God's ultimate plans. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon says this, God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart without the possibility that mankind will find out the work which God has done from beginning to the end. Solomon was suspicious that creation was a distraction. This ever-changing, never-ending rhythm to which nearly all of humanity dances is nothing more than a mirage, a diversionary ruse with no eternal value. These rhythms of creation are at last unsatisfying. You enjoy the rising of the sun in the morning, but by the evening, you have forgotten it. You go on a wonderful vacation or such a wonderful retreat, but for the rest of the year, you labor and you work yourself almost to death. But don't worry. Next year, you're going to do the same thing all over again. That is the cycle. That is the system. Solomon found it to be so unsatisfying. Let's see how Solomon depicts the repetitive circuit of humanity. Let's discover how he charts the path and pattern of every human living under the sun. And let us together acknowledge that the rhythm, not only of creation, but the rhythm of the world that humankind has created, that we and our forefathers have composed, is baffling at least, and futile at best. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1, Solomon says, there is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every matter under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. a time to plant and a time to uproot what was planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones together. There is a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. There is a time to search and there is a time to give up as lost. There is a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. There is a time to love and there is a time to hate. There is a time for war and there is a time for peace. And this is the circuit. This is the monotonous cycle of humanity under the sun. When a man no longer desires war, that man will seek peace. But as surely as the sun rises, that man will seek war again. His silence will become vocal again. He will dance, but he will love and he will hate again. He will kill, but then he will heal again and again and again. Around and around he will go, just as predictably as the earth moves around the sun. Because just like the waters, his cycle will never change. Man's natural rhythm under the sun will not be abated. And this is the rhythm of every human soul that lives under the sun. And Solomon said it's futile. This is the rhythm and the pattern of the world in which we live today. Today we love and tomorrow we hate. Today we seek peace and tomorrow we seek war. And we do this over and over and over again, a never-ending cycle since the dawn of the ages. History continues to repeat itself because it's a closed system. Until Jesus Christ came and dwelled under the sun. Jesus Christ was in the world, but Jesus Christ was not of this world. Jesus wept, but there's no record of him ever laughing. Jesus never killed, he only healed. Jesus mourned, but he did not dance. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but he is not the God of war. Jesus built up men, but he never tore men down. He broke the cycle. He broke the rules. This man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he danced to the beat of a different drummer. The music that drew him was a music unfamiliar to our natural ears. To the world, Jesus danced off beat. To the world, Jesus Christ had no rhythm. He was considered detached and distracted from the things that earned most men's attention. Jesus had rhythm, though. And it is a rhythm that was revealed to him from beyond the sun. For Jesus, there was a time for solitude and a time for fellowship. Jesus observed a time of service and a time for celebration. In the life of Jesus Christ, we can hear the hymns of silence and the song of worship. He practiced a period of frugality and a time of lavish generosity. Jesus Christ always sensed the season for chastity. And in his younger life, there was always a time for study. This was the rhythm of Jesus. As he prepared to face the cross, Jesus took out time to confess to his disciples that his soul was overwhelmed. Jesus began his earthly ministry with fasting. He remained constantly in prayer, especially at night when he would slip away into the hillside for time alone with God the Father. Jesus Christ had a rhythm. And it is the rhythm that Jesus left on record for you and for me. It is the daily pattern found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. This is the rhythm of the children of God. This is the heartbeat that sustains the warmth of the Holy Spirit coursing through our souls. Ask, seek, knock. This is our rhythm, but our rhythm is not the goal. I should point out to you that the asking and the seeking and the knocking are not meant to be an end of itself. But when we ask for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when we seek the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. And when we knock, we are knocking at the doors of heaven. Asking God to show us those things that no eye has seen. Asking God to let us hear what no ear has ever heard. We stand beating at the gates of heaven, hoping that God will open the door and allow us to walk into the kingdom of God, that kingdom that exists beyond the sun. Solomon was right. If in this world alone you have your hope, you are of most men most miserable. But there is a life that is beyond the sun. There is a rhythm and a heartbeat that beats beyond the clouds. And what Solomon concluded was that the best thing that a man can do in this world is to fear God. To ignore this system. To ignore this rhythm of the world that keeps you fearful, this rhythm of the world that keeps you filled with anxiety and stress and anger, that you would stop dancing to the beat of the drummer of this world, that you would find your rhythm in the kingdom of God, that you would dance to a different beat. Solomon was right. Some of the most depressed people I've ever met in my life were some of the most wise people I have ever met. But as Solomon said, do not become overwise. Why destroy yourself before your time? Because Solomon had accumulated all of this wisdom. And Solomon believed that if he became more and more wise, at some point he would figure out how this whole thing works. And he became disgruntled when he realized that the wisdom of this world is futile. It only goes back around again. That's what frustrated him. He knew too much. And he realized that this creation was a closed circuit, that you're not going anywhere. Get all the degrees you want. Master every job skill you want. Become as successful as you want. It's all going in a circle. You're not going anywhere. And in the end, you will die and be forgotten. Just like the poor bum on the street, you will be forgotten. The rhythm of this world is a mirage, a distraction. Unfortunately, the children of God are just as distracted by the rhythms of this world as the carnal man is. When the world is afraid, so are we. When the world is angry, so are we. When the world laughs, so do we. When the world dances, so do we. Because we are on the same wavelength with the world. God says in his word, come out from among them and be separate. You don't dance to the beat of the drummer of this world. You don't find your satisfaction in this world. You seek the kingdom of God. You are daily asking and knocking and seeking and asking and knocking and seeking. What are you asking and knocking and seeking for? You're asking for God to give you an opportunity to break out of this system and just for a moment to stand in the kingdom of God. The world says that religion is the opiate of the people. The world says that religion is our way of trying to escape reality, but they got it wrong. The believer's way is the way of walking into reality and walking away from this mirage that calls itself my life. Because by the revelation of Jesus Christ, I have come to understand that there is more to me than this. I'm not spending any nights lying awake worrying about what's happening in this world. I come from another place. I am born in another kingdom. And that's where I find my rhythm. This rhythm of asking and seeking and knocking and asking and seeking and knocking, it is not the end in and of itself. We are seeking and asking and knocking in hopes of a glimpse of heaven. In hopes that God will allow us just for a moment some relief from this dreary cyclical treadmill of life under the sun, and that God would grant us leave to sit with Jesus Christ in the Spirit. That's what Jesus promised us. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will show you those things that belong to me. He will give you wisdom and vision and revelation to break out of this cycle, to see life as it truly is, as it was meant to be. But the rhythm is not the rhyme. The rhythm is not the reason for my disciplined lifestyle. The rhythms are the means of grace by which we gain clarity of thought and vision, encouragement and strength. The spiritual disciplines, we'll call them. That's the rhythm. If you didn't catch, the rhythm is the spiritual disciplines. This is the rhythm. These are the means of grace through which we gain access into that kingdom whose builder and maker is God. And with every prayer and every act of service, through every season of fasting and every time of silence and solitude, by the rhythms of our actions, we are crying out with King David, declaring that our souls are thirsting for God alone, for the living God. When shall I appear before God? And because of our desperate plea, because of our consistent spiritual discipline, God graciously grants us the desire of our heart. And then the rhythm is complete. We ask, and God gives. We seek, and God reveals. We knock, and Jesus Christ of Nazareth opens the door and invites us into the house of his Father and of our Father. And those experiences forge a lasting impression in our hearts. But over time, the impression begins to fade again. Over time, we can lose the luster of heaven. Over time, we can forget or misremember the face of our beloved. This is why we have to keep asking and seeking and knocking each and every day. Show me again the vision of glory. And we maintain this discipline. We maintain this rhythm. And Jesus Christ continues to reveal to us again and again and again. And unlike the circling of the earth or the circuits of the systems and streams of this world, this rhythm of asking and seeking and knocking, it never gets old. There is always a sense of the unknown in each cycle. And while our spiritual rhythms may be predictable, the response that we receive from heaven is always unforeseeable. In our Father's house, Jesus says, there are many mansions. And sometimes you knock on the door of the kingdom and God shows you one mansion. And you knock and you ask and you seek again and God shows you another mansion, another aspect of himself. Too many mansions to count, too much to understand, too much to take in one visit. Thank you, baby. And every visitation that we have in the kingdom of God, it reveals something more of God that we did not know before. This is the rhythm of the believer. If I could describe this rhythm is like the boosters on a space shuttle. Cape Canaveral, when the space shuttle takes off, the boosters lifts it off the ground, and it powers up, and the fire is blowing and streaming, and this thing goes shooting up in the air, and you just see the smoke behind it, and then all of a sudden, it breaks through the atmosphere. And what does it do as soon as it breaks through the atmosphere? It releases the engines. I don't need it anymore. I don't need the disciplines anymore. I'm here now. The discipline was just a means to get me there. But once I walk into the kingdom of God, I don't need the effort anymore. Now I can just float. The rhythm is just a practice to power you up, to prepare your mind and to prepare your heart for those things that are unseen. But once you get there, you can rest in the presence of God. The rhythm is a tool. Sometimes we come to worship the rhythm. Sometimes we come to worship the discipline itself. Sometimes we grow too deep in appreciation for the fasting and the prayer. And it's like, yeah, those things are necessary, but only as a tool to get you there. Once you get there, you can just rest in the presence of God. Let me tell you, this is the way the believers, this is the way the children of God maintain our sanity in this crazy world. This is the way we remain strengthened and encouraged in this world, is by daily visiting the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus Christ did every night and every day of his life. He would work all day doing ministry, and at nighttime he'd go out into the wilderness all alone and fall down on his knees and pray and pray. What was he praying for? All day he's been seeing the degradation of this world. All day he's been seeing the sickness and the evil and the wickedness of this world. And he may be feeling depressed because he sees what Solomon sees, that all of you are running as fast as you can and none of you are going anywhere and you don't even realize it. He'd go off into the mountains by himself and pray, God, give me a taste. Give me a vision of the kingdom for tomorrow, man. Give me another vision. Let me see it again. Those things that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, those things that have never entered into the heart of man, let me see it again so that I can be strengthened once again and encouraged once again to press on in this world by faith. This is the rhythm. Any child of God who is not practicing this wisdom, this rhythm, is what the Bible calls a carnal Christian. If you are not receiving a vision of the kingdom of God in worship ever, you are never being refreshed by the kingdom of God by sitting at the throne of God ever, then you're what they would call a carnal Christian. You're not receiving the full benefit of being a child of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is the main benefit of being a child of God. Because it is by being filled with the Spirit that your eyes are opened. And you see things as they truly are. And you see who's really in charge in this topsy-turvy world. And you recognize all the power, all of the sovereignty rests with our God. And then you're at peace. Oh, God. I wish I could just stay there. When I'm in prayer and I get to that place, I wish I could just stay there forever. But you have to come back. You can't just travel above the sun forever. You've got to come back down here in this dreary cycle all over again. But every time I start feeling discouraged, Joe, every time I start feeling dark, every time I start feeling like the world is closing in on me, I begin to practice the spiritual disciplines with fervor. Break me out of this cycle. Get me out of here. I don't need to commit suicide. I don't need to think about killing myself. I can get out of here and stay alive. I escape this world by the power of prayer and by the power of fasting, by the power of silence and by the power of solitude. I escape this. I sit with Jesus. He strengthens my heart. It gives me courage and hope. This is the rhythm that we're talking about. This is the rhythm. that you should be practicing during this retreat. This is not vacation. This is your opportunity to invest in the spiritual disciplines in a way that you can't normally do it. To quiet yourself. To find yourself a tree and sit down and commune with Mother Nature and commune with God. And to tell God the truth. Lord, I've been walking with you a long time and this thing has become so cyclical. I know what songs we're going to sing every Sunday in church. I know where the text is going to come in. I know they're going to make announcements. This whole thing is becoming so cyclical, kind of monotonous, kind of boring. I need a fresh filling with your Holy Spirit. Let me see again. This is how you stay fresh in the Spirit. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters, too many of us conform to this world, and we are dancing right along with them. And we're wondering why we're tired. And we're saying our faith is not working. And we're saying, I'm not growing. I feel stuck. Well, you feel stuck because you're not practicing the discipline. Because you're calling Jesus Christ by name, but you're not living the life of Christ. It is a life of spiritual discipline. But as we said, the rhythm is not the goal. The goal is so that you and I can get a glimpse of heaven. The goal is so that you and I can see the face of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. The goal is so that we can visit God and sit with Him quietly at His feet, no longer suspended or in suspense of the cares of this world. And once we break out of the system, once you and I break out of the monotonous cycle of life under the sun, we experience what they experienced in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, where John makes this astonishing observation. And he says that this new city, this kingdom of God, it has no need of a sun. It has no need of the moon to shine. Because the glory of God has brightened it. And the city's lamp is the Lamb of God. There is no sun in the kingdom of God. And there is no moon. And if there is no sun and there is no moon, there are no seasons. And there is no time. So there is no rhythm. To have a rhythm, you have to have time. In the kingdom of God, there is no time. It's always right now. Yesterday, today, and forever is always now. There is no rhythm. There is no beat. There is only love. There is no change because God is always the same. And that's kind of an oxymoron, that we have to go through this cycle of discipline, that we have to discipline ourselves and we have to gather and practice this rhythm so that we can get to the place where there is no rhythm, where there is only the rhythm and the beat of love. And the only reason we have to practice the rhythm is because we're in this body. If we weren't in this body, we wouldn't have to pray. If we weren't in this body, we wouldn't have to have faith. Paul the Apostle said, these are the last three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the only one that remains. When everything else is gone, only love remains. And that's what we're seeking in prayer. We're seeking to get to that place where there is only love. That is the place where we find our peace, and that is the place where we find our strength. And this is the rhythm of the children of God, to ask, to seek, and to knock at the door of the kingdom until Jesus Christ opens the door and lets us in. Let's pray. Father God, many of us are tired. Exhausted by the cares of this world. Concerned and fearful about so many things. We find ourselves unintentionally dancing to the rhythms of this world, filled with care and worries and anxieties that do not come from you. Some of us feel like we are stuck spiritually. We can't seem to find our balance and we can't seem to find our way. I pray for each of us today and all of those watching, Lord, that you would help us find our rhythm. Help us to find those spiritual disciplines that assist us in asking and seeking and knocking after you each and every day. Our desire is to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the patience to wait on you. Give us the perseverance to continuously knock and seek and ask, even if the door is not opening. That we would be resilient in faith, confident that our desire to dwell in your kingdom is also your desire that we might dwell with you. We pray that you'd give us those moments of spiritual retreat, even on this retreat, that you would give each one of us a special experience with you as we walk, as we fast, as we pray, as we ask and as we seek and as we knock, that the door would be open and you would open the eyes of our hearts and allow us to see those things that belong to Jesus Christ and that belong to us as the joint heirs with him. In his name we pray. Amen.